Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Geography Island Jams. With me today, I have Ria Shah. Ria became an alumni of the LSE when she graduated with a Geography with Economics degree in 2016. Growing up in East London, Essex, meant that Ria wasn't too far from home going to LSE. Ria spent her first year in Parsfield Hall, moving on to live in flats in King's Cross and Islington in her second and third years. Whilst at LSE, Ria was involved in many societies, which included Beekeeping, Sustainable Futures, FemSoc, and a Cape LSE, which is an LSE a cappella group. Since graduating, Ria has worked for Atkins, an engineering and project management consultancy firm, and took a 5-month sabbatical traveling around Southeast Asia. Most recently, Ria has acquired the position as change manager for the Natural History Museum. So welcome, Ria.
Hello.
So the first question I wanted to ask, do you remember when you first thought about doing geography with economics and furthermore, first thought about going to the LSE?
Yeah, definitely. My A-level subjects were geography, economics and math. So yeah, it was quite an easy choice, I guess. I love both the subjects, and on doing research about the courses, seeing the geography, you know, pure geography didn't completely appeal to me, although I did love physical geography. But I loved the sort of development areas. Sustainable development was really cool. Learning about culture, like gender and geographies. So there were just loads of areas I thought was really interesting, and also was like growing to love economics more and more. And I liked maths as well. So I thought actually, you know, LSE's course was really good. Other universities that do combined courses, you still have to do a bit of human geography, I think. So it was great that LSE had the only human geography aspect of it. And I love that.
And you said it briefly, but do you have a favourite topic from when you were studying?
Oh, that's hard. I just loved everything. That's so lame. But no, honestly, I just remember the stark difference between the geography modules and the economics modules. And, you know, every module was so, so interesting. I remember learning in my third year about the disparity in like housing and how house prices change in different areas based on so many things that you wouldn't really think about. I thought that was really, really interesting. And using like actual statistical data to like prove that was really interesting as well. I loved all the environmental modules as well. That was really, really interesting. And then the development modules and kind of intersectionality as well was super interesting because I hadn't really thought about that before. And it was really good to learn more about that. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, so can you now tell me about the first song you'll be taking with you?
Yes. So I thought I'd start with a song that reminds me of my earliest childhood memories. And the song is Bob Marley, Three Little Birds. Bob Marley just reminds me of my parents so much. My dad grew up in Tanzania and then moved to India and claims that he brought reggae to India. I think it's the best quote ever from my dad. So yeah, I just love Bob Marley and love reggae. And Three Little Birds is just such a good song. Like it's telling you not to worry and just be happy. Like what more do you need in life on a desert island apart from those key words?
Do you have any favourite experiences from your time as a student?
I just loved freshers and being in Parsfield Hall. Honestly, there are some just amazing memories of like, you know, freshers of course is just amazing because you're getting to know loads of people and going out, and there's loads of fun events going on, like walking tours of London, and like just so much freedom was just amazing during freshers. But I just loved as well, like as we got to know each other in halls, we did more and more weird things. Like for some reason our whole halls decided to wear onesies every Saturday. We got brunch, so normally in Parsfield Hall you got dinner, and which was also really good because you didn't have to cook. But on Saturdays we got brunch, and it was always great because you'd go out on the Friday night and then Saturday morning was like a chance to come together and gossip and hear about the night, but any silly stories from the night. But we decided to all wear onesies. I honestly don't know why. It was compulsory. So everyone would just come down in the weirdest onesies, but it was just great. I love that. And I remember playing games like Werewolf. I don't know if you've ever played that, but it's such a good game. And I've never played it since with that many people. So I've played it with like 8 people, but at halls. I remember in, you know, late at night we'd play it with 30 people, and it's just really, really fun. It's basically a game where you, each person, you're acting, you're like a village, and one person is a murderer, and you have to, like, as a village, decide who the murderer or the werewolf is. And it's, yeah, it's just a great game.
Yeah, I think I've definitely played that before. It's a fun one. It's so hard to get a group of people together who've got nothing else to do that are so passionate to play a game like that. You touched on it briefly, but so you're one of the only generations to have experienced both Crush and Saucy on the Friday nights at the Students' Union. Can you tell me more what they were like and what you remember from them?
So I'm obviously telling my age, as I can't really remember much of it, but so I just remember that we had the first term of my time at LSE in first year where we were able to go to Crush, and I know now why they closed it down, because it was just grim. Like, it was just the weirdest place ever. It got, I think it's been knocked down now, so, you know, sadly those people at LSE now won't be able to see where Crush was, but it was just this, had a tiny upper bit, and then downstairs was this really small hall actually, and had a stage, and everyone was allowed to go on stage, and it was just, yeah, really great and very weird as well, and it was really fun. So I remember the first few nights, and LSE, because it was so small at the time, and the Crush, no one really wanted to go to it. It was just LSE students as well, so it was really, really good. Mm-hmm. But then obviously Saucy came along, so the Saucy Hot building was finally created, and basically no one could actually get into it. So I remember when they launched the night, they were like, you know, sort, we're gonna have this amazing club on Fridays, it's gonna be, you know, LSE kids are gonna get priority, blah, blah, blah. And we got there, and I remember probably for the first 4 weeks of the club running, there was a fire drill every single Friday, like, without fail, there was going to be a fire drill. I just remember vividly, like, just the fire drills happening, and everyone was just so annoyed and just kind of wished Crush was still there. But obviously, then they figured out how to stop the fire alarm. I don't know what was causing the fire alarm. Somebody probably just burning some toast, I don't know. But yeah, they figured out obviously how to stop the fire drills going off, and it's probably just sweaty people actually.
Yeah, all the steam.
Yeah, exactly. And then yeah, it just got better, and we were able to go there. So the rest of first year and second year and third year was spent in Saucy, so that was good.
So can you now tell me about the second song you'll be taking with you?
Yeah, so I already touched on my sister, and we're really, really close, despite this sort of 7 year age gap. But this song, I think it's called One Day Reckoning Song, and there's like a good remix of it, that I think that's the one I mean. But it just really reminds me of like being on the beach. It's like really got good like tropical vibes, and yeah, it really reminds me of my sister. And I think, I'm pretty sure we played it at her wedding, and I remember she got married in, I think I was at my, in the first year of uni or something like that, like during my uni days she got married. So I really remember that song like being played quite a lot in like the run-up of like the summer when it was her wedding. So that was, yeah, really, really fun. It reminds me a lot of her.
What was it like growing up in East London, Essex, and like whereabouts was it you grew up?
So yeah, it's a weird one. I never know what to say where I'm from. Kind of depends on what mood I'm from. Like sometimes if I'm up north, I say like I'm from Essex, because I feel like that sounds like less posh than saying I'm from London, and everyone looks at you like, oh, she's just a southerner or Londoner. So yeah, sometimes I say I'm from Essex, sometimes, yeah, it just depends on what mood I am. So where I'm from is like, it's a London borough, so Redbridge is the borough, but the county is Essex, so it's a bit confusing. But yeah, it was gorgeous where school was. It was really green and lovely, and it was an all-girls school, so had some really hilarious memories there as well. And then I moved schools for sixth form to City of London, so was in London again, but kind of more in around Moorgate area. So really liked that area, but I absolutely love where LSE is, like Holborn, like Temple, the Strand. Like I really, really love that area, and I sometimes just go back. Some of my favourite Wetherspoons are in that area, for sure. There's some great Wetherspoons, even though I dislike Wetherspoons, but there's some really, really good ones.
What about, do you have any cheeky or mischievous stories from when you were growing up?
I remember this memory of being in German with my friend Nat, and we were so naughty. I don't even know why we did this. This isn't the naughtiest thing that we did, but it's probably one of the baddest things, that's not a word, is it? Probably the worst thing, but this is obviously because it's a girls' school. We were like a grammar school, so we were all like really dedicated to our studies. But yeah, we decided to pretend that there was a mouse in the class. So we wrote a note saying, when we scream, everyone scream. And obviously like a group of 30 high-pitched year eight voices, we passed this note around and then we all nodded and then we screamed. And our teacher literally like legged out the room, shut the door and then called the head teacher. The head teacher comes in and was like, what was wrong? And then we had to fill in a report about what the mouse looked like, what colour it was. And like, obviously we just made it up. So yeah, I just remember that really, really vivid memory. I've got my fourth song relating to my school days, if that's going to be a good one to go in now.
You could do that actually. So yeah, you can tell me about your third song.
Yeah, so this song is by Bombay Bicycle Club, and the song is Always Like This, which is, I think, their most memorable or like well-known song probably by them. The reason this reminds me of my school days because I saw them at the underage festival when I was, I think, 16. As the name suggests, it was a festival for people underage, so there was no alcohol, but it was really fun. And I remember going with some of my school friends, and then I actually saw Bombay Bicycle Club again literally a few months ago back in Ali Pali. So it was really nice seeing them again. Like, it was quite great. The audience was like basically everyone who had seen them and loved Bombay Bicycle Club when they were kids or sort of teenagers. So it was, the audience was really, really great, and they were amazing live. They had like a jazz band play some of their songs. And their new album's really good as well. So yeah, I really love Bombay Bicycle Club. And this song is just like a great banger.
So you recently spent 5 months traveling around Southeast Asia. Do you have a favorite place which you visited?
That's such a good question. I absolutely love going to Malaysia. And the main bit of Malaysia that I loved was Borneo. So I went with my friend who I went to school with, and she lives in Myanmar. So we kind of met in between, and she had some time off in between teaching. And yeah, so we did a few days on the like Malaysian peninsula, traveling around like Kuala Lumpur, and then we went to Penang and I think it was Malacca as well. And then we flew to Borneo, and obviously you hear about Borneo and just think amazing wildlife. And honestly, it was incredible. There was just, we did a few treks where we went into national parks and saw proboscis monkeys, which are the ones with like massive noses. They were really cool to see. And then we saw loads of just amazing animals. We saw the orangutans in a nature reserve as well, which was just incredible. And a really strong memory is having my breakfast stolen by some other monkeys. It was really terrifying. The lady warned us that the monkeys can be quite ferocious, but honestly I did not think they would like attack my breakfast and just like eat all the noodles and eat all the eggs in one go whilst staring at me hopelessly, you know, trying to save my breakfast. So yeah, I've got really funny memories of that. But just Malaysia is an incredible country, and yeah, they've got really great initiatives about trying to protect. I also did a diving course there, so I did my advanced PADI. And I really loved like the vibe there. They just really protect, trying to protect the coral and protect the wildlife that they have, because it's incredible that some of the, I think it's probably one of the best places I've dived as well. The animals and seeing like turtles and I think it's black reef sharks as well. Yeah, just saw some really cool wildlife.
Very fun. And it sort of relates to my next question, but do you cook at all? And if so, do you have a favourite dish you like to cook?
Yeah, I have definitely improved. My culinary skills have definitely improved since university days, where we just ate like corn mince a lot. And yeah, so I've been cooking a lot of, especially during these lockdown times, been cooking some recipes from the Happy Pair, who are this really cute Irish, they're like they're twins, Irish twins. And they've got some really healthy, mostly vegetarian and vegan meals. My favourite is their homemade pizzas, which we made last night. Yeah, really tasty. And you can make the sauce, which is really delicious. So yeah, recommend the Happy Pair as a recipe book.
Very nice. So can you now tell me about your fourth song?
Yeah, so I thought I'd do a song that reminds me of university days at LSE, especially my pre-drinks. which and the song is TLC Waterfalls. So yeah, this really reminds me of living in second year and third year with my flat of, in second year I lived with four other girls, so there was five of us. And then in third year we lived four of us. And yeah, it was just really fun having like an all girls house. And we would just without fail have pre-drinks before any night out and listen to some great songs, often like very all women bands. So TLC played quite a lot. And I love the song. It's such a good, I think the message is really good. Like, don't chase waterfalls that you know, you don't know, or like just stick to the path, you know, but like, don't rush and, you know, just take it easy. So it's a really good song. And there's also a funny memory attached to it where I'm really well known for mishearing lyrics. So I honestly thought this song was go, go Jason Waterfall rather than don't go chasing waterfalls. So yeah, so I obviously thought the lyric was completely the wrong thing and I had no idea who Jason Waterfall was. And now that I know the new lyric, I think the message of the song is so much more powerful and really like quite a cool message.
Do you have an idea of what your perfect day would consist of?
I think getting up and actually doing yoga first thing in the morning, like, oh my God, I'm such a non-morning person. Every day I say I'm going to get up early and do some exercise or like read a book or do something really productive in the morning. I just always sleep in. And I think especially during this lockdown where I don't have to commute, I'm getting up so late. So yeah, I think the perfect day would be like getting up, doing some nice yoga outdoors, or like going to the beach, just having a nice long walk, enjoying and swimming. I just love like being in the sea and swimming. So yeah, that would be like ideal day. And then eating tasty food, definitely that would be high on the list. Maybe some like nice Italian food, or my mum's like great Indian food, either or.
Do you know what the first thing you want to do when lockdown over is?
Get a nice soy latte from like Pret or something. I just can't wait for that.
I know, it's funny, it's the small things you miss.
Yeah, I don't, like, the thing is, I don't even miss, like, I do miss alcohol, of course, in the pubs, but, like, you know, you can do that at home, but coffee, you just can't replicate good barista-made coffee.
What about, if you could invite anyone in the world to a dinner party, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
This is such a good question, but I think I would go for my grandma, so my mum's mum, who we called Granny. She was just like probably the original feminist of my family. Her husband died, so my granddad died when my mum was three. So, you know, when she had twins and she had two other children, so she had like four kids running around, but still managed to run. Instead of going back to like the village where she's from in India, she stayed in the city of Bangalore and opened up four women's hostels. And yeah, just walked between them. So instead of getting like public transport or driving, she would walk between them, and just like was so hardworking and amazing in those times. Like I just think she must have had a lot of setbacks of people telling her like she, you know, stay in her place and that kind of stuff in India as a woman and also a widow. So yeah, I think it would be great to hear some of the stories because she died when I was quite young. So I just love to find out more from her and hear about her great stories.
So how old are you when she passed?
I can't remember, but I think I was in year, maybe like 8 or 9 or maybe 10, I don't know. But she had Parkinson's, so I can't really remember her. So I can't really remember any of my memories of her because she was quite ill. So yeah, I'd love to have spoken to her when she was like fit and healthy, and yeah, would have been great.
Can you tell me about the fifth song you'll be taking with you?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Crystal Fighters, and the song by them that I love is You and I. Crystal Fighters are such a cool band. I think they're from the Basque country, and they just have like, they use, you know, Basque folk music and folk instruments rather, but they're just like really cool and you just want to dance if you hear them. And I saw them at a festival that I went to maybe 2 years ago now or 3 years ago, which was called Beat Herder Festival, which no one has probably heard of, but yeah, they headlined one of the days, and it was just like amazing seeing them live. I think they're just better live than they are, even on, like, listen to them on Spotify. But yeah, they're really, really cool. And it really reminds me of my one of my best friends from school, because we were there at the festival together. And yeah, I just had such a good time in the sun, like dancing, and yeah, just good memories of them. And whenever I hear them, I just think they're just such a good band. They've got some great bangers.
Can you now tell me, what was it like working for Atkins, and what kind of things did you get up to?
Mm-hmm. So I joined on the graduate program. So that was actually so fun, because there were 10 of us that joined at the same time, or maybe 13. And it was just really fun joining with people who are kind of similar ages. But actually, that was really refreshing, because in my year of graduates who joined, quite a few of them were a bit older, had done different careers. One of them, Lee, my friend, he used to be in used to do judo as a profession. So he decided to have a career change quite late in his life. So it's great to have friends of like different ages as well. And yeah, it was really fun, because we got to know each other really well over the first 2 weeks of induction. And then every Friday we, without fail, go to the pub together, and yeah, just have like really, really good memories of all of them. And in terms of projects, I worked at Heathrow for quite a long time, working on some of sort of like the automation projects and working on like biometric technology. So that was really cool. And then I worked at like counterterrorism policing. So that's another client that we worked for. That was really cool as well. And really exciting to see like a different industry in like public sector. And I've been recently like line managing a few graduates as well. So it's been quite fun to be on the other end, and running assessment centres as well, just like being on the other end of the side. I've really liked that as well. So I've enjoyed working there.
Can you tell me, what exactly did you get up to on the project? So when you worked for Heathrow and helping out with the biotech stuff?
Yeah, I mainly did like project management roles, or sort of project coordinating roles. So helped the project manager if there was a project manager. So making sure we did all the planning and the risks and issues, and actually like doing the training. So actually was using the technology and training like security guards on how to use the technology, and also doing trials with passengers. That was quite fun at Heathrow. So one of the technologies we worked on was self-boarding gates. So just before you get on the plane, it was like an automated gate. And we would do trials with real passengers. So we'd make an announcement and say, this is a trial, so don't worry if you don't want to take part in it. And yeah, people would go through, and it's funny to see like how watching people in an airport is actually quite entertaining. So sometimes people just panic and do the wrong thing. So it might say, like, these are rumors that went around Heathrow, that if it said like put your passport face down, people are like put their actual face down on the gates. Or there's just like really stupid things that apparently people do because they're like panicked and at an airport. So yeah, it's quite, you have to be really simple with your messaging and kind of guidance that you give passengers, especially if people don't speak like English as their first language in like an English airport. So yeah, there were some funny passengers to see.
Can you tell me more about the role you've just acquired at the Natural History Museum?
Yes, so I'm really excited about working at the Natural History Museum. I think it's anyone who has been there, especially as a child, will just know how amazing the place it is. I particularly love it just because I love nature, I love wildlife, I love animals, and I really love, you know, their vision of kind of empowering children to understand and love nature. And that means that, you know, in the future, children are going to protect the environment and protect nature and wildlife. So I love that mission and vision of them as an organisation. So yeah, so I've always kind of wanted to apply for a role there, and kind of this one I just saw it on their vacancy page, and I just thought I have to apply for it. I've previously worked in my time in consultancy as a change manager, so really focusing on the people side of change. So when you implement a project, for example, it might, you know, there's always going to be the impact on the people that is often forgotten about. So project management is really focusing on the actual end goal, whereas change management is kind of working on the people side of thing, which I love because I love talking to people and understanding them and working on, you know, them as individuals. So I love that aspect of what I did. So this role came up, yeah, and it's involving the collections, which are arguably what make up the museum. So they've got the Natural History Museum own 80 million collections, which could be like a tiny ant or massive whale. So it's basically involving a programme moving them to a new site. And so it's, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to work on the thing that the public love to see and the scientists do their research on. So yeah, it'll be cool. And I'm happy to be in that. It'll be amazing to be in that building, working in that office. So excited for lockdown to be over so I can actually work there.
Can you now tell me about the sixth song you'll be taking with you?
Yes. So my sixth song is, I think I'm going to go with this song, which is Stormzy, Shut Up. And the reason I've gone for Stormzy is like, he is just such a proud Londoner. And I just think he's amazing. He does so much for like supporting, especially like, you know, black groups, marginalized groups in different areas, setting up, you know, foundations and trusts, and also like the books he started, a book series that he's working with the Penguin on. Like, he's just done so much amazing stuff. And I remember watching him watching him on the telly whilst I was watching Glastonbury. Unfortunately, didn't get tickets to see him live at Glastonbury, so I was really annoyed. But yeah, just like, just seeing him there, and some of his songs are just amazing. Like Blinded by Your Grace, which is by him, makes me cry every time. And I remember watching that, you know, watching it live and crying. But I thought I wouldn't go for something sad on the desert island, because that would just make me go down a downward spiral. So Shut Up is like one of his famous, you know, original songs. I love that it's got like, I love the video because it's just like him and his mates like in a park, just playing some music on like a boombox or whatever. And it's just, you can just see how much passion and like raw talent he has. So yeah, Stormzy is like a legend.
What about if you're having a bad day, is there anything you do especially to make yourself feel better?
I think I've really recently got into drawing way more than I used to. So I've like set up my own art Instagram account. So it's very exciting.
What's it called?
Oh, it's called Create, because it's like a pun on my name, which is Rhea. So it's like create, like kind of with my name in it. Quite embarrassing. But yeah, I've really been getting into that, and I'm really enjoying it. I think I've been really enjoying thinking about the sort of positives of lockdown, and that's definitely one. I've also, yeah, as I said, kind of got into yoga, really enjoying that as well. And also, if I'm in like a bad mood and can't sleep, I'll use Headspace, which is such a good app. Yeah, it just really puts you in a good state of mind, and just makes you like, you know, bring that back. And that's something that I've recently got quite passionate about at work, which is sort of mental health awareness, and really, it's something that obviously has been a taboo for so long. So I'm really glad people are talking about it more. So it's great that we've got, you know, A, the dialogue to have these conversations, but also B, like amazing apps and amazing support structures in place. Obviously, you know, an app is not going to cure every sort of mental health issue at all. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, you know, small things to support people and to help them through difficult times. And they've been really good through coronavirus, you know, giving free memberships to like NHS workers and things like that. So it's been great.
Fabulous. Can you now tell me about the seventh song you'll be taking with you and any reasons why?
Mm-hmm. So my seventh song is Madonna, Like a Prayer. This Madonna is just also amazing. Like, I love that she's like one of the few artists that, again, like my parents and me can kind of appreciate, I think. Like, she's made music in my lifetime, and she's also made music during my parents' lifetime, which is just cool. And yeah, Like a Prayer is just such a good song. Really reminds me of some of the friends I traveled with during my sabbatical. Yeah, it's just such a good like dancey song. Really reminds me of, yeah, dancing in Cambodia and just belting the lyrics out. Like, it's such a good song to sing along to really loudly. And I think if I was on a desert island, I would not feel shy about singing loud.
So moving on to the last few questions now. Do you have a personality trait you're most proud of or grateful for?
I think I'm very emotional, and I always thought that was a negative thing, but actually I think it's definitely a positive now. Like, the more I realize that, I think it's probably a taboo in the past to cry, you know, even as a girl, like it was still a taboo to cry. Whereas, yeah, it definitely feels like way more acceptable to be emotional, and like it helps you. I don't know why we were like shy of crying, because actually if it's going to help you feel better about a situation, then yeah, like do it, go for it. So yeah, I think being more emotional, I think it just means it, I'm emotional about things that, like before I used to watch an advert and about a dog and like or like feed the donkeys or something, and I'd like cry my eyes out. And I think actually that's a good thing. It means that I think it's a positive in a weird way, because it's, you know, it means that I care about things and I'm empathetic and I have to like have some, what's the word? Like some feelings. So yeah, I definitely think it's a positive now. Obviously it's really annoying at times, like at work, sometimes I feel emotional, but also I think that's definitely a good thing, because it means I'm passionate about something, or I think something's wrong, which is why I'm crying about it. So I think it's a strength, even though I never thought it was in the past.
And what was your favorite part of being a student at LSE?
I loved being around people who loved the same things as me. Like, yeah, all of my friends were super into, you know, feminism, and everyone was very left wing. It was quite nice to have, like, I mean, obviously it's a benefit of having the opposite side, but I loved finding loads of people who had really great progressive views, as well as, well, maybe not as well as the other people's views, but yeah, I loved meeting people who had similar views as me and wanted to do good and wanted to make a change, as well. So I really liked that. Like the Feminist Society, I think was something that was really, something that I'm really proud of to have witnessed. They did some great things, calling out some really bad behaviour, and I think hopefully made a positive change towards some of the behaviour that was happening when I was there. So yeah, really, really love that. Also just the buildings. I used to do, one of my jobs when I was at LSE was, I used to give tours around the campus, which I just loved doing. I just felt really proud about the university, the different buildings, the different, you know, the experiences I had. So I love showing people that. And yeah, I had a one, if you don't mind me telling you one story that I had, which was really hilarious when I was giving tours. This American guy, I wish I remembered his name, but he decided to bring his children to show them the university. So I just gave him the best tour ever. Like I loved chatting to him, hearing about what it was like when he was there, and he was showing his kids all the different, you know, the places where he learned things and spent his lunch breaks. So that was just like amazing to see someone do that, and feel so passionate about the university. And at the end of the tour, he asked me, oh, do you mind if I give you a tip? And I just stupidly thought he meant like a piece of advice. So I was like, yeah, like definitely, like I really like to know how I could improve my tour giving. So I was like, yeah, sure. And then he gets his wallet out and I was like, oh my God, like definitely don't give me a tip. So that was really sweet that he was just like trying to tip me, which means hopefully that my tour is really good. And I didn't need any advice, but yeah, I feel really embarrassed. So I was like, yeah, definitely. Can I have some cash in my pocket? But yeah, it was really nice to give those tours.
And now, can you tell me about your eighth and final song?
So my eighth and final song is Fleetwood Mac, Everywhere. Such a good song. Like, I love the start, which is like really magical and like fairy-like. I don't know, just really love that bit at the start. And then just the lyrics. This song really reminds me of my partner. And we listened to this like on a drive to the beach one day, and then every time it comes on, like I just completely think of him, and yeah, like have really, really lovely memories of that song, and I just love the lyrics. And Fleetwood Mac are so cool, and they're a great band. So yeah, I'd love that song to play.
So you're allowed to take with you the Bible, the beverage report, and a book of your choice. What book are you going to take with you?
Can I just say, I love the idea of putting the beverage report. That is just the most LSE thing ever. Honestly, it kills me. But yeah, my book is going to be this book that thankfully me and my sister have just figured out what it's called. So it's called the Every Girl's Handbook. So by the way, when I say girls, that's one of the few words that I say that's really Essex. Everyone always tells me that. Otherwise I think I have a very London accent, but girls always comes out really Essex. Anyway, so it's called the Every Girl's Handbook. I have no idea who it's by, but we just used to read it like front to back as kids, I remember, and it was my sister's copy that I had, so the spine, if that's what it's called, spine of the book was like torn and it was just like rubbish. But the book was so fun. It was like, if you've read Dangerous Book for Boys or Daring Book for Girls, whatever they're called, it's really similar to that. So each chapter is like teaching you a life lesson, or how to tie a knot, or what are the flags of the world, or sign language, how to do the alphabet. And I just remember literally like reading that book and loving it so much. So I think that would be really provide some use during the time in the desert island. Maybe it'll give me some tips about knot tying or boat making. I don't know. So I think that book's going to be a trusty handbook.
And lastly, what is the luxury item?
So I think I mentioned my art already, but as I said, I've really got into doing some more drawings and painting. So I'd like to take with me a lovely set of watercolours and some nice cartridge paper, watercolour paper, to do some paintings on, and or some drawings. Yeah, so I'd love that.
Fab. Well, thank you very much for telling me about your Geography Island jams, and hope you stay well in lockdown.
Thank you.